Chafei Shvat, Simen Samich, Gimel Alacha Beis, and we're going to Simen Samich Dal, Alacha Dalet. We're continuing with this fascinating discussion about Oinoz Dvorim, the power of words, and how if words are going to be hurtful, one is not allowed to do so, and there's a lav. And the extent of these halachas is with the following examples. So the Kitzur teaches us, a person can't even tell his friend, how much do you want to sell this item for? And a person has no intention of buying. So that sometimes people walk into stores and just curious to find out what the price of a... So if it's clear that they're not planning on buying, that's one thing. But if it's implied that they were interested in buying, it's actually a lav of loy soinu. Because this person is thinking that this person is interested, that then he's going to get disappointed. So it's interesting that even though at the time that the person is saying something, the guy is actually not being hurtful. If anything, he's being excited. But it's the drop and the hurt that's going to come afterwards. Another example, a person is looking to buy, let's say, ice cream. And you tell him, go to so-and-so, to his store. And you know that that store doesn't sell ice cream, you're not allowed to do so. It's going to be hurtful to the person there at the store when the guy shows up and he has no ice cream to deliver. A person is a baal tshuva. One is not allowed to say, remember, you were in public school and you did this and that. Now, many times some of these things are mutter if there's a to'eles and there's a tzerich, etc., especially if the person himself is relating it in order to teach a lesson. But on a general level, a person has to be so careful when it comes to these things. If a person is suffering, achmona litzlan, says a kitzer, a person is not allowed to say to him, just like Eov's friends. Who are Eov's friends? So those who studied Eov. Eov had three friends. One of them was Eliphaz. He came with his friends and he told his other two friends, and they were trying to, so to speak, give chizuk to Eov. The Gemara says that the mamash felt his pain. But they came to Eov and they used terminologies that were very harsh. And they basically said to him the following, which implies that why aren't you using your Yiras Hashem? Do you think that someone that's naki, that someone that is innocent, is going to get punished? Implying that if clear that the reason why he's suffering so much is because you deserve it. Now, in truth, as the Kitzur himself points out, they were allowed to use such harsh terminology and approach because Eov was saying things that were against Hashgacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And since he was going against the fundamentals, they were allowed to respond in such a way. But the Kitzur is teaching us here, Chazal is teaching us, this is all based on Shulchan Aruch and Rama, is that a person has to be careful that when it comes to a regular friend that's going through suffering, not to say in such harsh terms. Rather, a person is able to somehow say in a very gentle way that it's always good to examine Lefashprish B'maisov. That's okay. But to go and respond and say, you think innocent people suffer? That's what the Kitzur says one is not allowed to do. Also, if someone is asked a question, he doesn't know, and he says, you know, he turns to someone else and he asks him, and he knows this person doesn't know, that's considered Oinoz Dvarim. It's painful. Obviously, if Rebbe is doing it with the students in order to make them wiser, as we find in the Gemara, that's permitted. Someone has what's called a kinui lignai, that means he has a nickname, but an embarrassing nickname, even though he's used to that nickname. But if a person is referring to this person with his nickname in a derogatory, in order to embarrass him, let's say he calls them a baldy, because he's bald. So if the person who's saying baldy is trying to embarrass him, it's asur because of Oinoz Dvarim. Another example of misuses of words is to use words in order to be going to das abuyas, that means to deceit and mislead people. And this applies even when it comes to non-Jews. That means to say the person, let's say, is not allowed to sell a non-kosher piece of meat to a non-Jew, assuming what the non-Jew thinks that it's a shchuta. The Rambam Paskin's one word of deception is forbidden. And this applies again, gnevas akum, gnevas das, is also even by a non-Jew. Person has to say, Imam, it's just someone just asking Shaila. Get these Shailas all the time. Can I basically lie to the non-Jew? And the answer is, besides the fact that it could be Chil Hashem, and there is a concept of Toras Akum, but to be directly being going to Das Abrias, including meaning the Das of a non-Jew, one is not allowed to do so, and therefore it's always Kedai to stay away from these things. If a person is selling something that has a blemish, even though the price wouldn't even fluctuate, it wouldn't change, one is not allowed to sell this item without telling the person that it has a blemish. And the only exception to that is when you're giving a present. A person should not ask his friend, invite his friend to come and eat by him when he knows that he's not going to come and eat by him. Now, this is actually based on the Lashon of Chazal, Leisarev Odom Bechaveiroi. So there's a beautiful Sma in Choshe Mishpat in Reish Chav Ches. Sma says, if you look at the Lashon, Yisarev, Yisarev means that he's continuously inviting the person and he knows the person's uninterested. But there are times where there's a certain protocol that a person should be inviting once or twice to make the person doesn't, so the person should not be insulted. So therefore, as according to the Sma, there is an Indian to invite once or twice when that is the norm. A person should not give a present to his friend or offer a present when he knows he's not going to receive it. Why? Because the general rule is echad bepeh veechad belev. A person has to be really honest through and through, heart and soul. And that's really what it affects us when we're not being truthful. And therefore, the same idea, a person should not try to show his friend honor when his really intention is not really to show him, but to honor him. Rather, a person should have peh velev shove, and he should act with sfas emes v'ruach nochon v'lev tov. The idea is the person should have a pure heart. Siman Samech Dalet, we're starting the laws of doing business with something that's also. So a nice intro is a beautiful chashulchan that discusses what is the possible problem with doing business with something that's not kosher. Now, as we'll see at the end, it's only talking about something that's not kosher midor. It's not kosher midor, but something that's not kosher midor abanan is permitted. What's the reason? So there's two reasons given. There's this famous Tshuva Sarashba that the reason is because you might come and eat from it. As we'll see, that seems to be the main reason that the Peskim use. The other Pshat seems to be just a somewhat of a Gzeres HaKasav. There's a Machlokes if it's Doraisa or Durabanan. Pashas, it seems to be that we're going with Durabanan. Either way, the Paskin, the Shcholah Paskins, and this is the way the Kitzur quotes a person that's something that's also Be'achila, Minatur, even though you're allowed to enjoy it technically, but if it's something that's designated for eating purposes, you're not allowed to do business with it. And you're not allowed to even lend it and use it as a collateral. And one is not allowed to buy an item like that to feed his non-Jewish workers. This is so nogea. A person decides he's going to be a nice guy, he's a nice boss, and he's going over to the store and he's buying Pizza Hut pizza. Right, with mech, whatever all the stuff there, what's called pepperoni and all this stuff, that's an issa the raisa because you're doing schur, you're buying it yourself. Now, there's different ways of doing so, you give them the money. Because if you're going to call up the store and pay for it, that also could be a problem. There's a beautiful tshuva farm of Sternbach, Shlita, and tshuvas van Hogger. So there are certain leniency. The Nachash Shulchan himself has a certain leniency when it comes to someone who has a superstore and he needs items that the non-Jews need in that neighborhood. But all these are kulas, and therefore one should ask a shayla, but in general one should stay away, unless there are some exceptions. Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livach, and the Tshuva Nirodeh says that even food that's in cans, and therefore you're not going to come and eat it, is also still something that you should not do business with. However, if it's something that is very clearly marked and for consumption of animals, so then already it's not Michael Adam. You know, sometimes you have all these cat foods. I used to have cat and these delicious cat food looking. They're really pretty disgusting. However, there's a key point that one has to know that you have to make sure there's no basal v'chal because then there's an issa d'oraisa v'issa hana. This week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. Okay, in any case, there are some other exceptions. So as we said, something that's not oimel achila, like horses and donkeys, you could deal with horses and donkeys because no one's eating them. They're not ready to be eaten. And chelav is another exception, except that the Peskim say, the Shach says, that chelav that we're talking about fat, meaning forbidden fat, has to be from a kosher animal, not from a non-kosher animal. Another exception, if someone nizdamin, nizdamin means that it happened to be that he ended up with something that is not kosher. For example, he was fishing fish and he ended up catching a fish that's not kosher. So therefore, in such a case, he's allowed to sell it because it's not he's not setting himself with such a business of selling non-kosher food. Same thing would it be if a person had a nevela and treifa because he didn't shecht it properly in his house. So he's allowed to sell these things because his intention was never to do business with these items. And he should sell it right away and he should not wait till it becomes more expensive, etc. He could even sell it through a messenger. And even though the messenger is going to make money from it, as long as the messenger is not purchasing it from him, because then it's a problem that the messenger himself is end up doing business with something that's not kosher. So that's why the messenger should not buy it as an absolute purchase, because then you would have a problem. Moshe has another interesting tshuva in Yeridea. A person could pay for transporting non-kosher food, and he could provide services for shipping companies, etc. Why? Because he's never having any possession of those items. So even though there's a certain responsibilities, which is interesting, they got to be chametz and pesach, that would be a problem. Here in this case, it would be mutter. A person is also permitted to, if he has debts, in order to get those debts, he has to collect things that are not kosher. So he could do so as long as he sells them right away, because he's not allowed to keep them in order to make more money. But you could keep them if you're concerned that you're going to lose the principal price. And lastly, as we mentioned, something that's only asur midrabbanan, for example, cheese of a non-Jew. We don't know if it's kosher or not. That's only in the midrabbanan. And therefore, in such a case, one is allowed to do business with something that's asur midrabbanan.